Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast. Walter Storholt here with you once again alongside, as always, the great team here in the Metroplex serving you at Estes Financial Services with an office in Fort Worth. Bree Reyes, Tim Estes, and the great folks at Estes Financial. And Bree is, of course, going to be captaining the ship today on the program, although I'm mixing my metaphors here, Bree. You don't captain the ship, you pilot the plane, right?
So. Yeah, but normally I'm the first officer, I think. I think we can officially give Dad the captain title, and I will just be the first officer.
That's right. You've got the microphone. Though you're the one that's
I am today's podcast captain,
communicating with the passengers on our trip today. Some great topics that we're going to dive into a little bit later on. In a couple moments, we're going to talk about, when is it safe for you to retire? How would you answer that question? Safe might mean different things to different people, so we'll dive into that in a little bit. We've also got a good question in the mailbag from Lou, and we're going to talk about beautiful views when we get to know Bree a little bit later on. But first of all, Bree, what's just been going on in your life? I'm sure you've just been busy. Everybody, when we kind of feel that, you know, winter to spring transition, everything just gets instantly busy, it feels.
It is insane. The biggest thing that happened this week was Nate Joaquin and I went out to visit Mom and Dad, Tim and Julie, at their house on the lake on Sunday, because Mom had her hip surgery last month and she's still not able to drive. And she sees Nate pretty frequently, so this has been a longer period of time for them not to see each other. So we had to go out there, and I was doing some, I'm also the chief technology officer of the family.
Okay.
Is the title I've given myself.
Yeah.
It's an unthanked, unpaid position. Anyway, she needs some help with her iPad and her email. And so I was doing that. And Dad and Joaquin had Nate and Bella out in the backyard, and they were playing. And I wasn't paying attention to them. I was inside doing my chief technology officer hat. And all of a sudden, my husband and my dad come running in with my son, carrying him, and there was blood everywhere.
Uh-oh. Not good.
So apparently, he'd been kind of running back and forth and running back and forth, and eventually he tripped. And we put him in the car, and blood was all over me. It looked like a scene from The Walking Dead. There was so much blood.
Man.
And we drove into town to Cook's Children's ER, a fabulous and wonderful children's hospital here in Fort Worth, Texas. Love them. Love. Cannot say enough wonderful things about the ER staff, because on a Sunday midday, they had us in and out of there. He cut his lip, his bottom lip, completely open. And not a small, I mean, it took 8 stitches.
Okay.
So they managed to give a 2-year-old 8 stitches and get us in and out of the hospital in a little less than about 2.5 hours.
Well, that's not too bad. That could have been a lot worse.
No, it was amazing. And it's so kid friendly. And they brought an iPad in to show him Elmo while he was getting his stitches.
Where was this when I was getting all my stuff when I was a kid, injuring myself every other weekend?
Now, my favorite part is when they looked at me and saw me turning green and said, "Mom, you need to sit down." And I said, "Sure, I will keep this chair seated. And well, that will be my job, is to make sure the chair doesn't move."
It sounds like fortunate, though, that no teeth damage or structural issues beyond the lip.
No teeth, no structural issues on the lip. He's going to have good. Kind of an S scar in his lower lip. It's healing. He can't do swim this week, which is, he's a little annoyed. And he hasn't been in school much this week because he went for one day and the stitches opened up and he was bleeding all over the place. So they called and said, "Hey, please come get your child."
your child is bleeding. Please come get him.
Your child is bleeding on all of our stuff. So my in-laws, who are superheroes and amazing and wonderful people, have been home and they have watched their fair share of Elmo this week.
Nice.
And they've taken him to see every stop sign in the neighborhood. He's very into stop signs right now. And he actually has a toy stop sign that he takes with him to go see the big stop signs. So that
He's a big fan of stop signs. Impressive.
Giant fan of stop signs. Worst backseat driver I've ever ridden with.
That's too
Anytime
funny.
He sees an octagon, he screams stop sign. And it doesn't matter if you're facing it. It's facing the other way. You've passed it already. The child will scream stop sign.
You're just slamming on the brakes in the middle of the highway. Stop sign. What?
That was a big adventure this week. Well, the first stitches in the baby.
Well, my nickname growing up, and then it became my middle name, was Accident Waiting to Happen. So if I need to pass that torch on to Nate, you just let me know. And
please
I'd be happy
Please
to
don't.
Do that. Because
like
it still applies today to me. So I'm happy to pass that on to anyone who wants to take that reign.
We don't need it. Thank you. He has plenty of nicknames and middle names that we are good. But yeah, no, you know, I can't say enough about the wonderful doctors and nurses at Cook Children's Hospital. They are amazing and wonderful people.
Well, it sounds like you've got multiple family members on the mend in some way, shape, or form. So give our best to everybody. Hope everybody's back up and running at full speed soon.
They are all doing great. Julie should be driving in a couple of weeks, and she is. Mom's doing fantastic. She's a rock star. And Nate will hopefully be swimming next weekend because his birthday is coming up, and we've got a pool party scheduled. So
there you go. Got to heal up just in time, hopefully.
Yes, exactly.
Well, we'll do another podcast someday where we talk about other ways that we can keep Nate safe, it sounds like. But what about you and being safe to retire? That'll be the main crux of our question today. Boy, that just segued so nicely, didn't it? We get a lot of questions from listeners. I know you talk to people every day in the office, Bree, about this kind of concept of, hey, when's it safe for me to retire? And so I want to look at some of the key factors that maybe help a person define what safe actually means, and then, you know, can they indeed pull that retirement lever when it's safe to do so? So do you find that most people, when we're kind of talking about this word safe, do you find that most people are aiming for an age when they come in to meet with you? Like, hey, 60, that's when I want to retire, 65, 67, whatever it may be. Or are they more so shooting for that certain dollar amount? Like, once I get to a million, I'm retiring. I'm safe once I hit that point.
I think more people are shooting for an age necessarily than a dollar amount.
Okay, that's what I would think. I would think that that makes the most sense, right?
But it's fascinating to me the word safe and what safe means to different people. That has been kind of the most eye-opening thing about my career is that word. But either way, whether you're looking at a dollar amount or an age, unfortunately, in my humble opinion, both of them are wrong. Trying to shoot for, you know, there's always a good idea of a, you know, by this certain amount of time, I'd like to have incorporated this, this, and this. But I've had people come in here and say, look, I'm retiring at 65. And then we've seen, okay, well, you've done such a good job saving, you could actually go earlier, which kind of blows their mind and kind of changes their plan, which the inflexibility of a lot of people's mind when it comes to their life plan changing is fascinating too. And I'm one of those as well. So I totally get it. Or I need X, Y, Z million dollars in order to retire. And then it's like, well, maybe, maybe not. So I recommend, it's kind of like wedding dress shopping. This is the advice I got when I was going wedding dress shopping. Be open to everything. Mm-hmm. Try on all the different styles.
Well, safe to me, you know, and maybe we can illustrate the difference right here. Safe to me would be I can retire now, not have to worry about going back to work, and I know my money is going to last, you know, forever, at least as long as I'm going to be alive. Like, that's safe. I may want to actually retire at a different standard, but that would kind of be safe in my eyes.
And see, I agree with you on that one.
Okay.
So if we use that as our premise going forward, I think we're okay.
But I could imagine some people would say, well, it's safe for me to retire when I can make sure that my grandkids' colleges are paid for, their college tuition gets paid for, and I can afford 3 trips per year internationally. And, you know, I can make sure that we've got at least a buffer of, you know, $30,000 additional income to put in the fun money pot at the end of each year. That
right.
might be a different definition of it for somebody.
Right. And everybody's allowed to have their own definition.
Yeah. So maybe the better question is, when can we retire comfortably rather than safe? Because then we can all kind of find a comfort level. And it's a little bit more inherent that comfort is going to vary from person to person. What do you guys do at Estes Financial to help people kind of figure that out? When can I retire comfortably? Because comfort and safety very closely aligned.
They do. We have a retirement flight, and I'm going to call it a walkabout right now.
before going Australian on us, okay.
Well, a little bit. But before you fly, or Dad flies, he would do a walk around the plane. He'd look for foreign objects on the tarmac. He'd check and make sure, you know, the wings are there. And
Not a walkabout through the Australian wilderness.
Not a walkabout through the Australian, no. But just, you know, you walk around the plane, you kick the tires. It's kind of like before you get in your car, you should probably, not all of us do, but you should probably walk around your car and make sure, you know, all your tires are inflated with air and that type of thing. So what we do is we talk about where we are now. And I'm going to throw another fun analogy in here because where we are now. Okay, so from where are we taking off? Where are we departing from? Which airport? What do you want to be doing in retirement? You know, those four pillars of living an abundant life. Being the person you want to be, spending time with the people you want to spend time with, doing the things you want to do, and making the impact you want to make. So we'll talk about those four things. And then, you know, do you want to travel? What's your lifestyle going to be like? And then we need to figure out how to get there. We need to figure out if there are major thunderstorms that we have to detour around. We need to figure out how the traffic pattern looks and all the fun things that go into trying to take a trip. And we want to do that while minimizing the risks to you and making sure we're being sensitive to taxation as well. So there's a lot of different things. Taxation can be that unknown turbulence. Markets can be turbulent, as we've seen lately. And the problem with turbulence is you don't really see it coming. It just kind of, you get that feeling of your stomach going into your throat and then back down. And so we've got to prepare for that. We know these things are going to be out there. We know there's going to be some thunderstorms to detour around. We know we're going to see some turbulence. And so we got to make sure we've planned that in. And then we've got to test it before we just take off and randomly fly to your retirement.
It's great points. There are a lot of different moving parts when it comes to the flying experience, ones that we can be prepared for, but also ones that kind of come out of nowhere that we need to be, you know, ready to react to. Now, we can still be ready to react and prepared for those moments, but we don't know exactly how the turbulence is going to feel, how severe it's going to be. Is it the kind that just, you know, makes you a little unsettled and the light comes on and everybody returns to their seats? Or is it the kind that makes, you know, luggage fall out of the plane? And so you've got to take even additional, you know, measures at that point to keep everybody safe. So it's neat to see those parallels between the flying world, obviously, and the financial preparation and retirement worlds. Maybe some stories would be helpful here as well, Bree. Can you tell us a story about somebody who, after going through your process, through that walkabout around their financial plan, realized that maybe, you know, they had this idea of when it would be safe or comfortable for them to retire. But when you went through the process, you found out, you know what, you may need to work longer than anticipated. Does that happen?
That happens. And it's not always my favorite conversation because a lot of people have done what they thought they were, you know, should be doing. They thought that they were preparing properly. And this is, it's more of a reality check and it's not my favorite. I prefer the other end of the spectrum, but it happens every day. And what we have to do is we have to look at, okay, you said you wanted to retire at, well, we had somebody come in the other day that wanted to retire at 50. So early, an early retirement.
Pretty early, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what they'd done is they'd put all of their money was put in their 401k. They had nothing outside of tax-deferred investments. Well, they were young. They were under 59 and a half. So any money that they pull out of their IRA would be penalized. You get a 10% penalty. So we had to look at, okay, you know, why do you want to retire at 50? Are you set up to retire at 50? And what can we do to maybe make course corrections? Back to the plane analogy. What can we do to maybe make some course corrections to get you to 50? Or do you just really want to be able to travel more at 50 and maybe work part-time at 50 and continue to work? And so it's not always I'm one of these people that grew up and I thought the world was, you know, black and white. I was very, it's either wrong or it's right and move on. And what I have learned in the financial services industry in my 15-year career here is there's so much gray. And there's so many ways that we can adjust a plan to move forward to meet maybe some of your goals, maybe not all of your goals, but we can work together on it. And what I've seen, and I saw earlier in my career, is so many people will present plans to you and expect you to follow them. And to me, that's like going on Weight Watchers, not Weight Watchers, because they have a lot of freedom, but going on a diet where it's you will eat nothing but cabbage or drink nothing but lemon juice. And the minute that I get out of the room, I totally just want a cheeseburger. Mm-hmm.
The juice cleanses would be a good match there.
Don't even. But if we work together to build a plan, and we're working with your goals in mind with you, and you have some say and some input, we can be creative. It's not just black or white. There is a lot of gray.
Sometimes in that gray, I would imagine that you get the other side of the coin too. Somebody that comes in, maybe they have that attitude of, I'll never be able to retire, or I'm going to have to work until I'm 70 or older before I'm able to, you know, pull that retirement lever. I just don't see how it's possible for me to retire earlier than that. And I'm sure that you have, these are the more pleasant conversations, folks that are in better shape than maybe they thought. Maybe they can even retire earlier than they expected.
These are my favorite conversations because, yes, they are the more pleasant ones. The other ones I like a lot because they're more challenging, and I like a good puzzle. I don't know when I became a puzzle person, but I'm very much a puzzle person, and those are sometimes more of the puzzles. This is the opposite end of the spectrum. There is no puzzle here. And we recently sat down with somebody who had been a nurse, and she and her husband had both had very successful careers, but she was tired. She was tired of the long hours. She was tired of being on her feet, and medicine has changed dramatically in all of her years. And so she was just done, and you could just tell, but she thought they needed to work another 5 years. And so we took her through this process. It's not a one meeting thing. It is a process. Took her through the process, or she and her husband through the process. And by the end of it, she realized she could retire. And she was crying in thanks. I mean, thanking us and crying. Thrilled with the idea of what she will be able to do now and how much time she'll be able to spend with her grandkids and what her life is going to be like. It blew her mind, and it was amazing.
Pretty neat to see the change in emotions that can happen with somebody when they get some proper planning in place. And that's the biggest thing. If you don't take anything else away from today's show, maybe that's the biggest thing, is if you haven't planned, if you've just done a lot of guesswork when it comes to determining those kinds of things, like, when's it safe for me to retire? Well, I don't know. I think maybe when I get $1 million, or I think it'll be safe for me to retire around age 68. Well, what's the reasoning behind that? Is it then because you're going to say, well, I think I'll have enough? If you're saying things like, I think, and I guess, I suppose, you know, I wonder if that'll be the right time for me to do X, Y, and Z. If that's the kind of verbiage you're using, it's probably a little red flag that maybe you don't have the best plan in place that's giving you confidence to say, yes, it'll be safe for me to retire at 62, at 65. That's the kind of certainty that's going to give you a lot more freedom during your retirement years. And Bree, I know that that's what you guys have focused on creating at the office there at Estes Financial Services, helping people get that freedom, get that confidence with their financial plans. And as a good starting point, you've put together a retirement rescue toolkit. Tell us a little bit about what's in that toolkit, why it's a good starting point for somebody walking that retirement journey.
It is a great, it's so much fun because it kind of blows the old retirement thought process out of the water. We're seeing so many people's retirements we call it the ticking tax time bomb. I've even done a webinar on it where we discuss that. And so this toolkit kind of opens your eyes to, do you have a ticking tax time bomb problem? And if you do, what can you maybe start thinking about? What are some of the solutions to kind of, maybe not, you can't diffuse the bomb completely, but lessen the impact of the explosion to your retirement? Because it's fascinating to me. We sat down with someone the other day who said, well, I've got this amount in their IRA. And what they didn't realize was that every dollar that they took out of their IRA was taxable income to them. So at the tax bracket they were at, not all of it was theirs. Almost a third of that IRA belonged to Uncle Sam, at least currently, today's tax brackets, if they were to take it all out. And so that's kind of a big pill to swallow. And so the toolkit kind of talks you through that. And there's a really great book in there, audio CD, and just a lot of just great information. Tim and I are very focused on making everyone knowledgeable about what's going on and how to take action in their retirement and making sure they're educated on it. That's our job as investor coaches. And so it's a really cool kit. You can call our office at 817-444-8402 to request it, or there's a link on the website. But either way, go ahead and give us a call, request the kit, we'll mail it out to you, and it's some really great information.
It's also a free toolkit. Don't forget that as well. So that doesn't cost you anything to get these resources, which is cool. Believing in the educational method of communicating with you here on the podcast, get educated with that toolkit. Again, it's a great starter kit if you've never walked down that bigger picture of putting together a financial or retirement plan before. Call 817-444-8402 to reach the Estes Financial Services team and request that toolkit. Again, 817-444-8402, or check the link in the description of today's show. That'll take you to where you can get the toolkit as well. Only takes a few seconds to order it, and it'll be on the way to you in the mail very soon. Well, that's the main topic for this week. When is it safe for you to retire? If you've got any questions about what we've talked about on the podcast today, do give a call or reach out to us online. Happy to answer any questions or talk some more with you about your financial plan and your thoughts and attitudes and feelings about your retirement future or the retirement world in general. Don't hesitate to reach out if you want to ask a question.
It's getting to know you time.
Time to take a quick sidestep from all the financial stuff. It's so important that, we get to know you when it comes to your financial plan. When you come into the office and meet with Bree and Tim and the rest of the team, that first meeting usually is going to be just finding all about you, your hopes, dreams, and goals about your retirement future. We think it's also important that you get to know your certified financial planner a little bit better as well. So, Bree, this week's getting to know you question is a fun one. Tell me about the most beautiful view you've ever seen.
Ooh, this is a good one.
I would imagine you'll have, a dad as a pilot. I would guess that maybe it's going to come from experience in flying with him, but I'm not sure.
It is cool being up there. I'm not going to lie. I love flying with dad, but actually my favorite view is sunrise in Marfa, Texas, which is out in the middle of West Texas.
I was going to say, where?
Big Bend. I know. No one's heard of Marfa. Well, actually, unfortunately, more and more people have. It's kind of become this hippie destination.
Now,
but
you're saying Marfa, right?
Like with an F. M-A-R-F-A. Marfa, okay. Texas.
Not Martha. Marfa.
No, Marfa. Okay. It is beautiful. If you can get out there, the sunrise, just the colors and the landscape, it is gorgeous in West Texas. And it is one of my favorite places on earth. Hmm. Big Bend National Park, Marfa, that whole area.
Interesting. I'm looking at pictures of sunsets from Marfa online as you speak. It looks like it would be very pretty. I'm sure it doesn't do it justice from being there in person.
It doesn't. And the best part of Marfa, well, there's two great, great things. But there's not a lot of light pollution because it's a small town. So the stars at night are just gorgeous. And then they don't have great reception out there in Big Bend in that area. And I also like that because it gets you off the grid a little bit.
Yes, I like areas like that too. That's nice.
I don't think we do enough of that anymore. Be off the technology, off the beaten path. And so, yeah, Marfa is, and that's actually where my husband and I went on our honeymoon.
Really?
So it's got a very soft, I love Marfa.
Finding all sorts of interesting things out about you today. That would have been like, I don't know, maybe item number 3,467 of guesses for what you would have chosen for this answer.
For my honeymoon?
Yeah. Or even just for the most beautiful view. This would have been quite far down the list in terms of guesses. So very unique answer.
Love it. I love it out there. I love the West Texas landscape. It's beautiful to me. And that's actually where they shot the movie Giant, if you've ever seen that with Rock Hudson.
Giant? Like, is that the, which movie? Giant? I don't know if I've seen
Giant. Giant is the name of the movie. It's also a wonderful movie that I love. But no, I love West Texas.
There you go. Getting to know Bree a little bit better on today's show. We all learned a little something about Marfa. If you haven't been there before, I'm going to have to go check that place out and see another beautiful sunset there based on a Bree's recommendation.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
Well, Well, from Marfa, Texas, over to a great question here from Lou. And Lou is writing in with, I think, a good one for us to end the show with this week. It has to do with taxes. We touched a little bit on having a tax plan and the importance of that a little bit earlier on in the show, but Lou's takes us to a little bit more specific area. Lou says, I've always assumed that I'll be in a lower tax bracket in retirement, but now I'm questioning whether or not that's true. And Lou's curious, what do you normally see?
Well, Lou, this is a very good question, and I'm glad that you're starting to question that. Well, and I've hit upon this in previous podcasts, and sometimes I feel like I'm a broken record on it, but we as a country have so much debt that there's only two ways to get out of it, either tax or inflate. And so we are seeing more and more people who thought, and this is kind of a myth in the industry, and I admit that when I first got in the industry, I believed it too, that if you put all of your money away in your 401k now, you got the tax break now and it would grow tax deferred. And then when you took it out, you'd be in a lower tax bracket. I mean, we've all heard that. And that's been kind of perpetuated by the industry. Well, we're coming to find is you're right to question this, Lou, because it's not working that way. People are either in a higher tax bracket because of if they have pensions and they're lucky, then a pension, they have Social Security, or they just have too much in that, as I call it, the ticking tax time bomb that they've created because they've put all that money away tax deferred. And now they have to get it out for retirement, and getting it out causes taxes. So they're finding they're not in a lower tax bracket, or if they are, it's a very short-term situation until they're in a much higher tax bracket. So the good news is if you're not retired yet, we can take some steps into helping you mitigate that. The first thing I'd recommend for you to do is request the Retirement Rescue Toolkit. That'll teach you a lot about this. And the second thing to do is maybe start looking at, and there's some scenarios in there where you can maybe reduce what you're going to have to pay later on in taxes on your retirement. But I would sit down with someone, talk it over, talk over a plan, because I'm not seeing people in a lower tax bracket in retirement as often as I thought I would.
It's been one of those things, kind of like the, you know, old adage of get out of stocks and get into bonds as you get older, or just pick a target date fund. These things that maybe, you know, used to be good advice or was followed widely in the past, that just doesn't seem to hold as much water now. And this seems to be kind of joining that club. The 4% rule, another one, just withdraw 4% and you'll be good to go, you know.
Yeah, take 100 minus your age, and that's how much you should have in equities. I've heard a bunch of different things throughout my career, but this one was one that I admit, when I joined the industry 15 years ago, I thought too. And the problem was at that point in time, there was nothing else to do. It was all, you know, 401k to IRA, 401k to IRA. And then with the introduction of the Roth 401k, but that's still fairly recent. So getting that, you know, there wasn't a lot to do initially. And I think people are just slowly starting to realize that taxes are a much bigger problem than we understood.
Yep. And even the lower brackets may increase and become higher than today's high brackets in the future. That's the big unknown there.
The four scariest words that we say around this office are Congress is in session.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, never know.
Exactly. So good question, Lou. That's the kind of thing that you need to be thinking about when it comes to your financial future. And you're excellent to ask a question like that on the show. If you want to ask any questions to Bree, and we'll feature it possibly here on the show, you can always do that on estesfinancial.net. Again, that's estesfinancial.net. Reach out to us through the website. We might feature your question on a future edition of The Mailbag. If you have any questions about what you've heard today, or you want to get that Retirement Rescue Toolkit that we talked a little bit about, that great starting guide for somebody kind of beginning that retirement planning process, it's easy to do so. Again, that number to call is 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. This is the toolkit that certified financial planners Tim Estes and Bree Reyes have put together for you to learn some of the basics of financial and retirement plan, to propose some of the important questions you need to be asking, and to really get you off on the right track when it comes to putting together a solid plan. We'll also put a link in the description of today's episode where you can get that toolkit as well on estesfinancial.net. Don't forget to look up the team in the meantime on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Follow us on social media that way. And if you have any questions for us about your financial life, never hesitate, as we said earlier, to reach out. Bree, thanks for all the help on the show today. Had a lot of fun. I'm adding Marfa, Texas to my list of places to go visit, and we'll talk again soon.
Awesome. And everybody go out and lead an abundant life.